You're listening to Endgame Exotica, a members-only podcast exclusive to WhiteRabbitRadio.net.
This is H Avenger. You're listening to Endgame Exotica for Wednesday, April 11, 2018. And you guys have noticed there's been a little bit of action on this planet. They are trying to move up everything into what we think of as WW3. This is the big act. I've talked about this several times. If you're a newer listener, if you've went back and listened to Horus Avengers Follow the White Rabbit, the trends are still there. They're just all converging rapidly. Typically, we get these escalations. Someone backs down. One of the problems with this escalation is if someone backs down, it's going to be really a massive kick in the ass across the planet. It's going to be a humiliation. That's why no one's backed down yet. It is quite interesting. They could come to some type of detente. I don't know. Let's go over some news and I'll speculate on things. I do think there's some big moves being made in Western civilization. I think what it comes down to is quite simply what I've always said from Horus Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. There are no new trends. There's a Russian-German axis forming. There's an attempt, whether it be with Muslim immigration, white genocide outright, whatever, to destroy Europe. And, of course, the English-speaking world has basically destroyed its founding gene pool or attempted to, into the process of destroying it. A game of chicken, if you will. Into this game of chicken, Eastern Europe, Central Europe, and you can hear about this in This Week in White Genocide as well, which is out, have stayed white. Russia has stayed white. The military-industrial complex of Russia is still white with a single vision of the past, single vision of the future. There's not as much infighting there. They are solidified on the way forward. Germany, of course, you've got Merkel there, you've got all kinds of different horrors, but you still got a military-industrial complex, which is sold pretty much, if you talk about the Russians and Americans selling weapons in the Middle East, the Germans have sold everyone weapons in the Middle East. Israel, yeah, give them nuclear weapons. We don't even give a shit. Or nuclear submarines. I think it's more of a cynical play into what we're seeing here. Someone's gearing for disaster. Our job is to survive it, if it comes to that. But I think there are big moves afoot that says that there's not going to be any backing down. What I do think is interesting about Trump right now is you have Trump, and this is stuff that we normally don't see in American politics. This stuff is really over-the-top shit. It's almost like Trump's a white nationalist and they're going after him. I mean, I'm making a joke, but it's really ridiculous. FBI has raided Trump's lawyer. And this lawyer is a Jew, Cohen. Michael Cohen gets raided. Apparently for files relating to Stormy Daniels. I mean, we're talking about Robert Mueller is going after Trump's kike lawyers. This is crazy. Crazy stuff. FBI's fury. Trump's fury at Mueller as he brands FBI raid on his attorney Michael Cohen and attack on our country. Obviously, it's political, but everything's political. Again, you think Trump is a white nationalist or something, the way they're going after this guy. They're going after his Jewish lawyers. They're going after everything. What is my gut feeling? My gut feeling tells me there's more to this than meets the eye. You have this particular individual, Trump. He's a German businessman. The most interesting connections he has is Richard Nixon. Most people don't know that. Do you know that? You know Trump and Nixon were buddy-buddy? I didn't know that. Up until just recently. There's talk that Nixon was grooming him for the presidency. You have a military-industrial complex, which is very cagey. Very cagey. Most people don't even really know any household names in there, other than the neocons. The neocons, of course, are at the forefront of this particular war, but they're embedded in some elements. The Zionists are embedded in some elements, or people that call themselves Zionists. We don't really know what they are. We take everyone at face value. You have very interesting things out of the UK. UK, of course, you got the Skripal case, which, of course, again, you have another chemical weapons attack. If you're alive on this planet, one happened in Syria, supposedly, and it's the Bashar al-Assad's fault. Then you have one that happened in the UK, Skripal, which is trying to pit the US against Russia. It looks to be successful in that regard, sort of. But you have all these interesting moves afoot, all this pressure on Trump. There's speculations that the Skripal attack, this blaming the Skripal attack on Russia, was actually the German intelligence network, the BND, Bundesnachrichtendienst, to take out Theresa May, to weaken the UK right now. Well, that is interesting. Putin, of course, is in charge because the military-industrial complex of Germany, which is, of course, a nameless figure. You know, Merkel, these guys like the Merkels and the Trumps are pretty much whores on any given day for whoever has the most goods on them. But that military-industrial complex, all these giant corporations that are still left together from, guess what, World War II, are sitting there, and they're basically keeping Putin in power, and he's doing well to this day. They prepped Russia to take over Crimea at the behest, and took the whole entire CIA by surprise. These are things that my listeners know about, but if you're new, these are things you need to know. There's some type of convoluted game going on here. What does it have to do with us? Well, I think it has to do with the future of Western civilization and a fight that's getting ready to break out. And it could be like nothing we've ever seen. You have the map of the planet being redrawn. You have, of course, white genocide, which we may be on the eve of watching it end abruptly. And the fight then would break out over who gets the best and the brightest of the Western gene pool. Because whoever gets them gets all of Western civilization. Wouldn't that be a wild game? But I just wonder if there hasn't been a detente behind the scenes between elements of the military-industrial complex in Russia, in Germany. And Germany has long ties to America. The argument over America is the argument over the Anglo-Saxons. Are Anglo-Saxons another Germanic tribe where all roads lead to Germany? Or are Anglo-Saxons something new and a deal between the German tribes and the Jews? Seriously, that's the argument. Is America a British colony still, or is it a sovereign new deal? By renegade Anglo-Saxons, you know, because the culture in America is Anglo-Saxon, Anglo-Saxon common law, you get the picture. Is it German or is it British? That's the fight. The fight's over us. Fight's over America. America's the big swing. Interesting stuff. And of course, the speculation is never ending. But this, I just wonder if there hasn't been a detente. And I've been thinking this a long time. And I've been thinking this since the media showed up on my doorstep over the Trump election, which I had nothing to do with. I am objective on it. The guy's not going to get elected and be able to do anything, even if he wants to, because you've got to be surrounded by people to help. He's not surrounded by anyone that can help him. He's surrounded by Jews and neocons. Who, of course, the establishment is going to war with many elements of. It looks like, to me, there's a giant civil war around this guy. So I'm wondering if elements... the Kissinger detente, Zionist elements out to just save Israel, willing to make a deal with anything, have been pulled over a barrel to make a deal with elements in Russia, working with elements in Germany, working with elements in America, to make some type of deal and all systems go on World War III, a knockoff war, a diabolical type arrangement, the devil's game, if you will. We're going to kick it off with a giant war, and then we're going to go into some big helter-skelter type scenario. The problem with this scenario afoot is it leaves out certain elements of the Anglosphere. So those certain elements of the Anglosphere are long-established families who are, whether it be the Clintons, the Bushes, maybe even elements out of London, maybe even royal elements out of London. It leaves them out in the cold. In other words, a New World Order deal that cuts them out of the deal. And I can't imagine that. And this is wild speculation. I don't have any grounds for it. It's just my gut feeling that he's a willing dupe for something. And the next willing dupes will most likely be the Zionists themselves because they're on the front lines of this war. And I do think the elements in the globalist side of the equation believe that have all teamed up. Everyone on the planet has teamed up to realize, to make a statement that Islam is going to have to lose. Islam is going to have to get crushed. And they've got, you know, Islam has pissed off everybody. It's so bad that the new House of Saud, is backpedaling on detuning Islam. I mean, the Sunni Islam, the Wahhabis are backpedaling, letting women drive, doing all this type of modernization in Saudi Arabia having to do with women's rights, all this type of stuff that 10 years from now you never see. So I wonder what's coming. A war in the Middle East where everyone there loses? Yeah. I know, it sounds like over-the-top stuff. And when I talk about Helter Skelter, what do I mean an act where you're going to see it's going to be a war or a flashpoint could be negotiated. It could get out of hand. There could be big surprises. But afterwards, they're going to bring out some technology, and they're going to get religious. They're going to get UFO-y. They're going to let it all hang out. What are the odds of that? I think it's a 50-50 chance. The plans are afoot. The Kissingers have said, you know, New World Order is inevitable. We're going for this stuff. The Soros has said, we're going for this stuff. Just whether or not any of us survive it. Do I think it's inevitable? Nothing's inevitable. But there is a push, and it's not just going to be another war or another flashpoint. They're going for something much bigger. And I think there are some factions that are out in the cold, and they are putting the pressure on. They are trying like anything to get Trump out of there. I mean, we have been in a four-dimensional game for quite a while, and the fourth dimension is space. And I don't need to mean cheeky about it because, you know, 4D chess and all that bullshit. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about there is a dimension, whether it be in finance, commerce, technology, there is a fourth dimension there, space. And we don't know what's going on there. And even if it's just look at it from an area of finance, someone's getting ready to spring something. I can feel it. Surprises happen in the direction of the meme and memes. And the space, I mean, everything's... When it comes to space, the sky's the limit because the directed memes are ridiculous. It could be something normal, finance-related. Christopher Columbus could sail in from a new world. That's been done before. Open up the game to more interesting financial shenanigans. Yeah, mining of asteroids, all the stuff that they announced. And, of course, you have a continuous drumbeat of the military officials in America, in specifically the Anglo-American set, Jew and Gentile alike, saying we have to be ready for war in space. We're not ready for wars in space. Now, they're referring to satellite wars between Russia and China and everything else. We assume. But there can always be something here that's unexpected. You know, our race tends to do things, and the rest of the planet finds out later. You know, the Chinese do something, they announce it to the world. Our race does stuff, you ain't going to find out about it until they're ready to spring their traps on you. That's just how whites operate. They're sneaky, sneaky. Yeah, Russia doesn't really parade around its military developments until they're firing them off and giving you warnings. America's the same way. So I just wonder what's really going on and why they're in such a hurry now and why some elements feel the need to play these type of games when you would think they would have Trump on lockdown. But maybe not all the sides are all that comfortable with Trump being at the top of this deal as it goes down. Maybe some sides are on the outs. The Zionists, of course, are interested in survival of Israel. Dershowitz, Alan Dershowitz, who, of course, is pushing for the military confrontation in the East, Far East, Middle East, and everything else, he's only interested in survival of Israel. He's defending Trump to the death, legally, which is kind of fascinating, which I do think is interesting. But again, you have, you know, strange bedfellows coming together here at a very strange time. Military communications jammers deployed at Chinese bases in South China Sea. Now, but this is the type of speculation going on. Now, in China, we have three aircraft carriers moving over there. We have military communication jammers deployed at Chinese bases in South China Sea. Chinese military has begun to deploy more defensive fortifications in the South China Sea, Spratly's Islands, including technology capable of interfering with radar communication systems, according to a new report. In direct rebuke to U.S., China installs radar scramblers on Spratly's Islands. Interesting. And it looks to be some type of global ordeal as well. I could go into all the technical details, but I don't think it's really all that profound. You have asymmetrical options to America power. These asymmetrical options have been deployed by Russia and China. We have reports right now, and let me skip ahead. We have reports right now Russia has figured out how to jam U.S. drones in Syria. So Russia, the problem with the Chinese is most of their stuff has been sold to them by Russia or seeded by Russia. Like their space program was totally seeded by the Russians. The question is, what has Russia sold and who has he sold it to? But I think it's an interesting report. This is out of NBC News. And you know, I was in a room with a relative of mine that's pretty connected. He sold a lot of stuff. He has military clearance in America, some type of secret clearance, because he sold software and stuff like that and various different products to different military companies, defense companies. And we were talking about Russia, and he said that he didn't know whether the Russians were bullshitting or no one really knows. He was speaking generally. All these different meetings he goes to selling products and technology and whatnot in different conventions over the past 6 months. No one knows if the Russian stuff is really going to work or if it won't. A lot of people are betting on it won't working. That ring, I told him that's like alarm bells to me because I assume it's the other way around. And I explained to him what the Russian military industrial complex was. And I said, you know, they're not bullshit. They have everything going for them on paper. But this is the type of thing, you know, you're going to be dealing with is some elements in America aren't going to know what hit them. And how are they going to take getting their asses kicked? Russia has figured out how to jam U.S. drones in Syria, official says. Four U.S. officials say Russia's signal scrambling has seriously affected military operations. So we've got scramblers set up in the Far East, not coincidental. Scramblers activated in Syria, not coincidental. Will someone back down? We don't know. Theresa May, let's go over some general news now, why I think that backing down is going to be very difficult in a traditional sense. And if someone does back down, it could be the end of a particular regime. And this stuff isn't speculation. These are actual facts. With these facts, we, of course, are forced to speculate because we don't know the future. What I would do, though, I would definitely have some extra food and water around the house in case these guys do something stupid. And you can bank on the neocons to do something stupid. What's interesting, though, is so far they've never been able to launch this war. They've tried this several times. This is maybe one of the boldest, biggest attempts. But in several attempts that they have tried, they've went down this road. Nothing has happened, which is interesting in itself. They couldn't complete it. So maybe this is another time the world gets spared, or maybe not. But Theresa May is not invited to the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Well, it looks like Meghan Markle and Prince Harry didn't invite anyone, really, politically. They didn't invite Trump. They didn't invite Obama. They didn't invite... Maybe they just decided not to invite the politicians. And, of course, it's the mystery meat wedding. You know how that goes. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Anger is building in the UK at the government's handling of the Skripal case. Well, the Skripal case has blown up in Theresa May's face, and it may take her down. There's a lot of interesting, and you could spend all day on this stuff. But the general overview is that there was a botched chemical weapons attack. There was a botched false flag. In my opinion, MI6, MI5, whatever, have been set up. And I think the people that would have set them up, most likely the Germans. I mean, that is speculative, but I think a lot of people are coming. Someone's looking to weaken May or take May out. Or basically, knives could be out for the English-speaking world elite, which is, there's a lot of grievances against these assholes, Jew and Gentile alike. And not that this helps the average person. I mean, if they're going to war in America, they're going to be building up bullshit right, left, and center. They're not going over these facts on Fox News, except Tucker Carlson is, kind of. Yes, there's a lot of problems with this. Yes. It comes from the illegal and frankly immoral way the UK government has repeatedly denied consular access to the Skripals, which is obliged to give under Articles 36 and 37 of the 1963 Vienna Convention and Article 35.1 of the 65 Consular Convention. It comes from the way that Victoria Skripal, who is quite obviously keen to see her uncle and her cousin, have been denied visa under some absurd pretense. There's something botched here and they're covering it up, and they most likely were set up. Because this is a disaster for Theresa May at an interesting time to spring a disaster on them. Now, of course, they would jump at an opportunity for a false flag against Russia because they're trying to go to war against Russia. Yeah, they're trying to go to war against Russia. And everyone's talking about the Monday night rant about the war against by Tucker Carlson. And you can look it up on YouTube. Tucker Carlson goes on epic rant against war in Syria. This is being talked about in Daily Stormer and everywhere else. He's doing a good job of alerting most of white America who watch Fox News of the truth. Interesting article. Brits apologized to Russian embassy for London's political offensive on Moscow. The Russian embassy in the UK tweeted a few letters of support sent by British nationals. Yeah, but not by the British government. Yeah, this is war, war, war. And I think this is what's going on. This is why there's going to be a push toward war more than anything else. This is where they're trying to break this up. From Ankara to Moscow, Eurasian integration is on the march. Now, who benefits from Eurasian integration? Who benefits? Russia? China? Yeah. Who loses? London, Washington, New York. Israel? Yeah. Yeah, Israel. Israel's not going to be happy about a Eurasian integration where they're excluded. Could they be included? Turkey can be quite hostile to them. Iran is most certainly hostile to them. Yes, the common commitment, the first Russia-Iran-Turkey trilateral meeting on Syria was in Sochi on November 22nd. Sochi led to the formation of the Syrian National Dialogue Congress, 150-strong committee tasked to draft a new constitution for Syria. All these procedures essentially follow guidelines established by the 2012 Geneva peace process. Even the UN praised Sochi as an important contribution. The final joint statement is unmistakable, emphasizing their common commitment to sovereignty. What do I think they're going for in America? I think the neocons want a disaster in the Middle East that blows apart the Syria, the Shia crescent that stretches from Iran through Iraq, through Syria, and through Lebanon. They want to just burn the place to the ground, try to hurt this, and then put the English-speaking world in some type of strategic retreat into the British Commonwealth. Get that going again. Basically, cynically try to destroy as much as possible and try to be the last one standing on the planet. It's interesting. The Russian-Turkey partnership is all business centered on crucial energy, nuclear, and weapons triangle. Russia, at the onset of the creation of the nuclear industry in Turkey, and then there's a $12 billion TurkStream gas pipeline, on and on it goes. Well, I think the biggest benefit from Eurasian integration is the biggest manufacturing conglomerate on the planet. Now you're thinking that's China. Well, most of the heavy manufacturing, most of the tool and die, the best of the best on the planet is the Germans. So I think Eurasian integration actually benefits Germany more than anything, assuming the Russian-German access basically develops. And I am assuming that the Russian-German axis will develop along the same lines as Nord Stream 1, Nord Stream 2, piecemeal, piece by piece. Next thing you know, you got this big conglomerate of German manufacturing, Russian natural resources. Now, of course, once you get that, you've got a lot of land, you need a lot of babies, which is okay, because you've got white consolidation potentially around the planet. You've got lots of German tribes running around that aren't in Germany. You've got a lot of potential there, and you could raise birth rates. You could kick people out. You could have a knockoff war with Islam and wipe them. Who knows what you could do? You want to put on your diabolical thinking hat. You don't even have to be all that diabolical. You can just be, just think in those terms. I think under those circumstances, Eurasian integration and Russia leading the way is critical. How does NATO fall? Well, NATO's already in trouble with Turkey, right? NATO has a lot of problems with Turkey. Putin cements powerful new alliance with Iran and Turkey and challenged the Trump and the West, quote-unquote West, as the leaders vowed to bring a lasting ceasefire to Syria at the summit in Ankara. Iran's Hassan Rouhani joined President Erdogan and President Putin in Ankara Wednesday for talks on Syria. Leaders are attempting to put aside their differences to achieve a lasting ceasefire. Yeah, well, Washington doesn't want to see that. They want to see problems in Syria. Trump has talked about bringing troops home, but is he serious? Is he going to go to war? Is he going to bring troops home? You know, is this schizophrenia? And anything could happen. Who knows? And nothing would surprise me. The neocons are not going to leave the equation without trying to go to war yet again. He compared Iran's supreme leader to Hitler. On and on it goes. This is Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, of course, is right there. They've been kind of silent on the Syrian equation of late. The Israelis are starting to take the lead. Petro-1 is the newest weapon for the Chinese-Russia-Iran anti-U.S. dollar alliance. This is a big deal, the Petro-1, pricing oil in Chinese yuan. And they may put the screws to Saudi Arabia and make them sell them oil in yuan, Chinese yuan. And the Saudis may go for it. This is going to be a problem. The West's censorship and suppression of the news reports the truth about China, Russia, and Iran is lethally effective. Hitler called it the big lie. Your Anglo land learned from a master. Okay, this is the Saker going over the top. But this is interesting. Yeah, we've got a whole entire new arrangement on the planet coming down that excludes certain banking powers that have been dominating the globe for the past few centuries, and they're not going to go quietly. Even if they have to retreat, which it looks like they do, they're still not going to retreat quietly. try to burn down as much of the planet as possible, just like they tried to destroy Germany with Islamic immigration and everything else. We understand the Chinese government has halted purchases of U.S. treasuries. That's kind of a big deal. SGH Macro Advisors. I don't know what effect that would have in the short term. I think the U.S. Treasury has all kinds of different nuclear options, and U.S. corporations and pension funds, they have all kinds of different plans afoot if someone stops buying U.S. Treasuries or if someone starts playing games with U.S. Treasuries. China is a large foreign holder, but there are much larger domestic holders of U.S. Treasuries. That is the least of our concerns. They could cause maybe a problem for a minute or two, but believe me, London, Washington, and New York have a few plans afoot when it comes to people playing games with the U.S. dollar, when people comes to playing games with U.S. debt. And the reason I say that is because they've been in the business a long, long time of playing financial games. Russia considers dropping dollar and euro for oil trade with Iran and Turkey. That would be a big deal. And it's happening at the same time that the petrol yuan comes out. What you see is incrementally Russia and Germany getting tighter on their energy deal. And while that same increment goes hand in hand, incrementally, we see Russia and China from different angles putting the screws to the English-speaking world and their financial shenanigans. There is no way they can get anything under control in Venezuela unless they dollarize. The Bolivar is gone already. Dollarization is a solution, but it's not the optimal solution. They're talking about these different solutions. And the last time someone tried to de-dollarize, you know, was Gaddafi. But Putin is no Gaddafi, and he's pretty smart on how this stuff is going to go. He's got it figured out. Now, in Israel, they're launching, let's see what we want to do. And Geopolitics Part A is obviously made well after Geopolitics Part B. I'm just giving you kind of an overview, because you guys are streaming in messages. Is this the big one, Horus? Here it comes. I don't know. You don't know until they do it. They're definitely trying, though, aren't they? It's kind of obvious. But the news out of Israel, last news report of the day, and the overview is the trends toward war. Israel looks to be in the catbird seat. They're going to start taking the lead. They're taking direction from Washington and everywhere else. Putin would have been long prepared for this. Assad will back down. I don't think the Russians are going to back down. I just don't think they do. I think they got our number. I think the Chinese are ready to rumble. Washington will either have to go to war or submit or retreat. And they could do a combination of both. Moscow turns against Israel, suspects its airstrike in Syria was a feeler for a U.S. offensive. Moscow's tone toward Israel turned hostile on Monday. This is coming out of Israel. April 9th, after its claim that the IDF conducted an airstrike on the Syrian T-4 airbase that morning, the claim was itself a departure from Kremlin's longstanding line of letting Israelis' military operations pass without comment. Stepping away from this custom, the Russian defense ministry reported that two Israeli F-15 fighter jets carried out a guided missile strike on the T-4 airbase in Homs from Lebanese airspace. Syria was said to have shot down 5 out of 8 missiles fired, while 3 landed in the western part of the base. Moscow statement stressed there was no Russian advisors among those injured. 14 in all, according to some sources. It was next announced that Russia Defense and Foreign Ministries asked their Israeli counterparts to provide explanations for airstrikes on Syrian military facility. Then Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov told reporters that the airstrike carried out on Sunday on a Syrian airbase was a dangerous development. A few hours later, Russian Foreign Ministry criticized what it described as Israelis' indiscriminate use of force against civilian population in Gaza Strip, calling it unacceptable. So the Moscow was starting to drumbeat against Israel in direct statements. Kind of interesting. Debka files military intelligence sources says Moscow ire was prompted by 5 causes and more hostile steps against Israel's may be coming. Israel's reported military strike in Syria hit President Putin at a highly vulnerable moment when the U.S. and its Western allies were holding him directly accountable for chemical weapons attacks in Syria and United Kingdom. Putin never imagined that the nerve agent attack on the former Russian spy Skripal and his daughter would be tied in with allegations of the Russian-backed Assad regime using the poison gas against Syrian civilians in Douma near Damascus. Well, I don't think you're going to surprise Putin. Why would he be surprised? The Russian president suspects that, and they may go after Russia. They may try to attack Russia, which would be crazy. You never know. I got listeners that think they can actually pull it off. Maybe those listeners are right. I don't know. The Russian president suspects that Israel struck the T-4 airbase, a shared Syria-Russian-Iranian air facility, as an advanced foray on behalf of U.S. for testing Moscow's reaction to the larger operation. He is therefore pushing back strongly against Israeli attack to ward off a U.S. sequel. After Israel's wide-ranging air offensive on February 10th, with one of its F-16 jets being shot down, Putin warned Jerusalem to desist from further attacks on Syrian targets, else the Russian Air Force would hit back. Israel complied for 2 months, but then the compulsion became pressing to take out a key Iranian target, even at the risk of Russia's disfavor. Of deepest concern to Israel now is the Russian president may make a complete turn against Jerusalem, to an extreme point of supporting a war of attrition, which Syria, Iran, and Hezbollah are planning to wage against the Jewish state. And they could probably win it, which should be interesting. This is coming fresh out of Israel. And again, this is a process that is going to be ongoing. It's a process that that at any given time could escalate and go rip shit. This is not a real-time podcast, unfortunately. It's kind of just in time. I'm interested the next morning if these guys actually start going into some type of big escalation, the morning after the big flashpoint or the big disaster. I'm interested in that morning and how it develops and exactly how this is. It's going to be a red-hot summer. There's no doubt about it. I think too much is going on in the financial markets. Too much is going on around the Trump presidency. Too much is going on with these wild, different, over-the-top false flags, obviously, for any side to really back down. That is the concern here. But keep the station tuned right here to WhiteRabbitRadio.net. And thanks all you guys for subscribing. And we will be back with you on Friday with something new, something interesting. And Geopolitics Part A is fresh off the presses, so it's pretty much going to be current, unless, of course, they blow it up the world by the time you download it, in which case I would definitely, I don't care where you're at listening to this from, have some extra food and water around the house, because these guys are nuts. The neocons are nuts, and they feel they must go to war. They cannot stop themselves, whether it be the Lindsey Grahams, the John McCains, or the Jonah Goldbergs from the NRL, or the Alan Dershowitz. They, you know, the Jews have to save Israel. And we all know what happens. They always end up in disaster. But again, keep the station tuned right here to WhiteRabbitRadio.net. We'll be back with you. And there's a new This Week in White Genocide is out. We lost our PayPal, I think it would have been January 1st, January 5th, something like that, of 2018. A lot of you guys on six-month subscriptions, three-month subscriptions, 4 months or 6 months subscriptions, yearly subscription. As those come up, what you're going to do, they'll obviously bounce at PayPal because PayPal account is no good. In other words, they you won't get charged. You just won't have a membership that morning. So the good news and bad news. what'll happen is you'll get an email about a week before from me. There'll be a couple emails that'll come to your inbox. But if you don't have the same email, if you're signing up, a lot of people sign up memberships using gift cards, Visa gift cards, or sign up using a PayPal tied to an email you don't check. You definitely want to email me at horacethewhiterabbit@gmail.com if you got any questions about any membership. Now, if you have re-upped under the new system, you're good to go. It's credit card. It processes a variety of different types of credit cards and credit card gift cards. It seems to work fine. We've had no complaints. It's seamless. The new membership software is seamless. We're continuing. We've got two more tweaks on the site before we can get the actual blog up and running. We've separated the blog from the site. We've actually got a White Genocide blog. It's nice and white. That's going to be attached as a subdomain. We're trying to move forward. We've got another little trick going on the website, but it's going to be neat and clean and simple. Any questions, again, email me at horacethewhiterabbit@gmail.com. And you guys that don't check your emails, what'll happen is one morning you won't have access. Or I know some of you guys bought two six-month memberships last fall and wanted them connected and various different things. There's always something going on, which we can cater to. We can cater to, but you got to communicate. You got to get on those. You got to return those emails and communicate. So if you think you got a membership coming up, check your old emails or email me if you got any questions, you got any issues at the Gmail, horacethewhiterabbit@gmail.com. And of course, any questions, any comments are welcome. But this escalation is the one your mother warned you about. The question is, will someone back down? I do think the strangest events are the events around Trump right now and Trump's lawyers, and especially around all these Zionist nationalists, especially regarding all this particular moves, moving the neocons and the Zionists into the front lines in what could be a devastating confrontation, as well as the debacle of the Skripal case. And it's one to watch. Do I think there's someone that's trying to remove Trump before they go to war? No, there's no doubt about that. They do not want Trump in power for the war. You know, it's like all the powers on the planet said, well, there's going to be a World War III. And you can look up World War III. The quotes about World War III, between the matchup between Zionism and Islam, go back a long ways. The famous Masonic quotes about it from the famous, Grandmaster 150 years ago or 130 years ago. All the different stuff out there. We don't know what's true and what's false, but the memes have been out there a long time. Decades upon decades have went by. So it almost seems like everyone's prepared for this final showdown that's going to kick off a series, an endgame, if you will, on planet Earth, to bring about the end of the Piscean Age, the beginning of the Aquarian Age, all this type of stuff. All this type of stuff that the elites are into. And I don't know whether it's a bunch of rich people dreaming shit up or whether there are a bunch of rich people dreaming shit up that are dead serious about carrying it up, because that's not uncommon, rich people to have exotic fantasies, or whether powerful people, or whether or not they're really going to carry it out and go forward with it. It's a question of, it becomes a question of who's in the lineup, who's included, who's excluded, winners and losers in that particular deal. Obviously, we want to stay out of any war. But if these guys decide war is inevitable, well, then war is inevitable. You know how that goes. But this is H. Avenger. Keep the station tuned right here to WhiteRightRadio.net. We'll be back with you Friday. And keep your eyes on the headlines. We'll start breaking it down for you guys.